In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, as the Messiah coming to save His people, He was casting out demons that took control over the people. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw this, and they envied Him, because He had more power than them, everyone was following Him and not them, then out of their envy, they invented something. They told the people, well, if He is doing miracles and He's casting out demons, maybe He's doing that by the power of the devil, Beelzebub, the chief devil or the chief of all the devils. And of course, when they said that, they turned so many people away from God. Just by this cunning explanation. Can you believe that through just some words, people can be destroyed completely? And people can be turned away from God just by some words? You know, the same explanation the scribes and Pharisees gave to the people. And he said, you know, that's because he works with the devil. That's why he can cast out demons. I heard this exact explanation from people in Egypt when Christianity is the only power and source of casting out demons. Then they ask people, why do you go to church to be cleansed? And these are Christians. This is because the demon needs another demon who's stronger in order to get him out. Some words, but can kill a lot of people and can destroy a lot of people. That's why St. James said that in his epistle. First verse, he said, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers. Don't just teach quickly, don't say things quickly, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment, for we all stumble in many things. One word you say wrong can give completely different directions and can direct someone completely somewhere else, can destroy some people's lives. And actually, the importance of your words is according to the importance of the people that follow you. There are people who listen to you. There are people who follow you. You know that Arius was a priest in Egypt before coming up with his heresy. He was actually a very clever priest. He was very good in preaching. Everybody liked him and liked his words and his sermons. And after he had so many influence on people, just an idea about the divinity of Christ, we are suffering from the teaching of Arius till now. The Da Vinci Code is nothing but Arius. Neron, the emperor of Rome, one word he said. He said, I think the people who burned Rome as Christians, even though he's the one who burned Rome in order to rebuild it again. And centuries of persecutions of Christians came after that, after a word of explanation from an emperor. Anyone who has a leadership position or anyone who has an influence on any people must be so cautious about what he says, because it can destroy lives and it can build lives too. Any father, any mother, any servant, any priest, any friend who has an influence over friend must be very cautious about every word, because it can build or destroy lives. Actually, in the Bible showed us that some words made different destinations for different people. Let me give you one of the examples. The right thief on a cross and the left thief, they both did the same in everything, except for by some words, one was saved and one was sent to heaven and one was sent to hell. By just some words. Can you believe that? And actually, the Bible says that. believe it or not. He said that death and life in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Don't underestimate the words and what the tongue can get out of. Remember the Canaanite woman when Jesus healed her daughter. Why did he heal her daughter? It's because her sweet words that came out of her mouth. The Pharisees and the tax collector who went to the temple to pray, one went out justified, full of peace, and one was judged based on what? Based on the words they uttered out of their mouth. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I hope that we understand that. Death and life are in the power of tongue because there are good words and there are evil words, and there are nothing in the middle. There is actually nothing in the middle, but it's considered evil. You know what it is? It's called the idle words. And Jesus said that in today's gospel. Man shall be judged on every idle word he utters. There isn't anything in between. It's either good words or evil words. It either gives life or gives death. How do I know the difference between both of them? The good words are constructive. And the evil words or the idle words are destructive. There isn't anything in between, as I said. How is the good words are constructive? The Bible says that in Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. It gives life. And actually it says also, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. أو للبنيان, constructive. For necessary edification, that it may impact grace to the hearers. Let no word come out of your mouth, but constructive words that build the hearers. Build them what? Even build them mentally, or build them emotionally, or build them spiritually. But every word should be a positive one that builds, that is constructive. Not idle, not useless. Something that builds the spirit. The word of God or the word of the spirit are good, are constructive. Or build the mind, or build the knowledge of someone, or can build emotionally to encourage, to support, or to comfort. Just give comfort and consolation. Or maybe words that give peace between people. These are constructive, and there are so many examples of constructive words that can come out of the mouth. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impact grace to the hearers. That every single word come out of my mouth is building the person who hears that. The evil words are destructive or idle, as the Lord said today. And you cannot imagine how idle words and destructive words can really kill people. Actually, His Holiness Pope Shenouda, he published a book about the commandment, do not kill. And he said that so many times, that maybe we don't kill people physically, but we do kill people in other words. Let me give you two verses here. It says, it shows the importance of that. It says, the tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it's set on fire by hell. It can destroy the entire world. If there is a world war, comes out of what? What is the reason? Just words. Words between leaders can put the entire world into fire. Listen to this verse from the Joshua of Sirach. It's a very nice verse. It says, many have fallen by the edge of the sword. Definitely, a lot of people were killed by the sword. But not so many as have fallen by the tongue. The tongue killed more people than the sword. This is very, very, very true. Just some words can offend someone spiritually, can take away the faith of someone. Some words of doubt, the seeds of doubt, can take faith completely out of someone. Maybe someone just in a complaining mood or not in a good mood, but sets that seeds of doubts that kill other people, especially if they are people looking up to us and we are role models for them. There are some words turns people away from God. There are some words that offend people sexually or emotionally or by any means. There are some words indirectly encourages people to sin. When someone praises how sin is great and enjoyable and is good and it works, what is that? That's offending people. That's teaching people how sin is good. That is destructive by all means. It's unreal. And it could be someone just telling a story about his or her experiences, but it's destroying the hearers. There are some words, especially the words of gossip or slander, that destroys relationships, destroys families. You know, a lot of people don't talk to each other and hate each other, not because of anything they did, but because of some words they said on each other. Some words destroy families and destroy nations and set people against each other. Just some words. Can you imagine that? Can set things on fire. Some words can create lack of love and even hatred in the hearts of people indirectly. Just telling stories, just expressing my emotions and how I love and how I hate and how I judge people. I can talk bad about the church and turn people away from God just because I'm frustrated with something or I'm mad at someone. Just say that in front of some weak people. That's it. That's it. Some people are gone forever. A lot of people don't come to church. You know why when you ask them? Because they are offended from church. Because they are offended from the people in the church. Because people talk. Not people didn't kill them. People didn't destroy them. But people talked about them. Is that a good reason? For a lot of people, it is a good reason. It's enough reason to turn people away from God for years. Who takes this judgment? It's the person who spoke these words out of his mouth. There are some words puts down. Just negative words. Just not full of hope. You can talk about how the world is not going well and things in Iraq and Iran and all of this and how many wars we can come and face in the future and the gas prices and all of this. That's very good. You know, that sounds like big words. But you come out of this talk depressed and down and feels hopeless and nothing happens. Just some words came out of some people's mouths. Some words of lies or what's even worse than lies. Lies are lies. And you can tell if these words are lies. But what's worse than lies is exaggeration. Exaggeration. Of course, I've learned that through the years and through dealings with people, especially with problems. When you hear the problem from one side, you hear it completely different than getting the full picture because everyone is just exaggerating. Exaggeration and lies destroy homes. Idle words destroy minds, destroy spirits. Just some idle words, idle talk on the phones destroy the spirituality and take the fire of God out of the heart. That's how important that is. What is the problem? What is the problem of the tongue or the words? Our Lord Jesus Christ said it today in today's gospel. He said to the scribes and Pharisees when they said these words, he told them, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? How can an evil person speak good words? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The problem is not in the tongue, or not in the words, but it's in the heart. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. The problem is deep down. It's good to tame the tongue. It's good to work on it. It's good to put a zipper and a gate and a door over it. That's good. But it's not the ultimate solution. The ultimate solution is to search the heart and see where these things are coming from. Because these hopeless thoughts are coming from the heart. These doubts are coming from the heart. These envy, these envious words and words of judgment is coming from the heart. Who cannot take that? The most important thing that we want to learn today, how important our words are. It's very important. It's detrimental. And it's constructive. Some encouraging words can build the lives of people forever. Some negative and downwards can destroy people forever. But after we know how important these things are, we should really pray God to help us with this. But at the same time, we need to understand the danger of such a thing. St. James said that in his epistle. He said, if anyone among you thinks he's religious, someone thinks he's good, he's a religious person, and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, his own religion is useless. Anyone thinks he's religious, he's spiritual, but does not tame his tongue, his religion is useless. Can you believe that? But because of some evil or negative words, our religion is useless. That's what it says. Because it destroys. What is the benefit of praising God and going out destroying lives by just some words come out of the mouth? It's very scary. And at the same time, not building lives with some few words that we can definitely say. He says also, if anyone does not stumble in word, if anyone is good about his words, he is a perfect man, able to also bridle the whole body. A lot of promises were said about the good tongue and the good words. Listen to this psalm that we usually pray in the third hour of Agbeya. It's amazing, and it's actually an amazing promise from God. David says that, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? What is the lesson you want to teach us? Who is the man who desires life and loves many days and that he may see good? Who wants to see good days all of his life? Of course, everybody. See the answer. What do you need to do? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. That's it? Yes. It's a promise from God, right? If you control your own words, you have good life. That's God's promise. That's how much God cares about our words, because they are so important. And at the same time, this is the positive part. But the negative part is that have to make us a little bit scared about what we say. But I say to you, that's today's gospel, but I say to you, that for every idle word is not a bad word. Idle word is a useless word. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Account on every idle word. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Wow. That's a tough one. By your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So, what is the solution? Where is the hope? Well, there is something internal and something external. Something internal, which is working in the heart, which is examining the heart, examining the words first, and see where are these words coming from, and where are these feelings and thoughts and sins that are in the heart that brings forth these negative things, that stops the right words and the good words from coming out. The lack of good words we speak is from the lack of love in our hearts. Because if I love people, I care about people, I want to build them up, I want to encourage them, I want to give them boost. Because I love them, because I care about them, right? So it needs a good examination to the heart from inside. And at the same time, it needs a lot of prayer. There's a very nice verse also in the Psalms of the 12th hour. We pray in Agbaya. It says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. I hope you can memorize this verse. And always say it before you open your mouth and speak, before you make a phone call, before you go into a conversation. Put a gate, Lord, a door, and a keeper to my mouth. It's a lot of prayer. Some people would say, well, is it God's part or my part? It's both. There is God's part with changing the heart, working of grace within us. But there is another work from us, which is controlling the tongue as much as we can. We can't say it's all up to God, and unless God changes me, nothing can happen. Let's work as if it's all up to us, and pray as if it's all up to God. Here in Proverbs says, in a multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but who restrains his lips is wise. So our job is to restrain the lips. To restrain, you know, to put a strain right there in order to screen the idle, the negative, the useless, and put out just the good words and utter out these words. Also, the words coming from the way we think. The way you think is the way you speak and the way you bring out things. If you think negatively, of course your words will be negative all the time. But if you think positively, positive things will come out of your heart. If you keep meditating on the evil, on the wrong, on the judgment, on the bad things, and on the faults of people, of course no words of encouragement will come out. But if you focus on the good things in people and in events, all good things will come out of your mouth. And here is the verse of thinking positively in order to speak positively. In Philippians 4:8, whatever things are true, these are things that we should think about. Because when you think of positive things, positive words will come out. But if you think of negative things, negative words will come out. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, report. If there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Don't meditate on evil things, on bad things, on useless things, on the faults of people, on the mistakes of people, on the things that are bad. Don't see it. Close your eyes to it. You can see 20 things, 20 bad things of someone. But there are two things. There is one thing that's good Focus on that. That's what the Bible is teaching us. And when you focus on that, then you can have good words. When you talk to this person, guess what's going to come out of your mouth? The encouraging words about these one or two things that are good about him. That's our job. And of course, prayer that God gives us control and power over our tongue. That's the internal, actually. The external, there is one exercise that we need to exercise that the fathers gave to a lot of people. Even the monks who are in the deserts, they were given this exercise, which is the exercise of silence. It's a good medicine for the tongue. Not all silence is good. Silence of the husband when his wife wants to talk is not good. You know, not talking about that. Silence of the words of truth when they should come out is not good. Silence of the idle words. Silence when there is no necessary words need to be said. When I need to listen. That's why the book of James, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Let every man or woman, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Why slow? Why take time? Take time to think. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. Give yourself some time to think before you say anything. Saint Arsenius said this very nice and very famous saying, I often spoke than I regretted, but I never regretted my silence. Isn't that true? Silence gives you, becomes a mirror to show you yourself. Makes you meditate. Makes you actually love God, believe it or not, when you're silent. Because it helps your meditation skills. Being a lot of people are restless in the presence of God and can't pray because they can't practice silence of peace or quietness. Silence is also a sign of humility. Because people, when they speak, that's not good. Because it means that I know it all, man, and I know all things. And as St. James said, if you control your own tongue, if you know how to stop a word, if you know when to be silent, later on you will control the entire body. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.